This is Bruce Collins, your host for the Bible Studies program. Greetings and welcome to our lesson today. We're certainly glad you've tuned us in, and we trust the program will be a help and a blessing to you. If you would like to contact me, I'll give you my mailing address and my website address at the close of the program. Now remember, you can re-listen to this program on my website, and there's a weekly meditation on my website, and there's other information there that you may find helpful as well. You might want to go to that website and look at some of that information. But if you need to contact me with prayer requests, comments, or because you would like to be placed on the subscription list, the email subscription list for the email meditations, you can contact me either through regular mail or through the website. So you might want to get a pencil and a piece of paper out to write those addresses down at the close of the program. Now today we're going to look at Luke chapter 16, starting at verse 19, a passage that it would be nice if we could avoid. I've been going through Luke very systematically, and so we've come to this portion. And I've touched on it before, and it does have to do with the theme that we've been looking at, that no man can serve two masters, for he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. And so in our passage today, we're going to be looking at a poor man who was saved and a rich man who was not. And the rich man apparently lived for time and sense and for this life and forgot to make plans for eternity. But the poor man, he was wise and he made plans for eternity. I want to mention that in the passage, there is absolutely no indication as to what the way of salvation really is. We just simply know that a rich man died and he went to a place of torment, that a poor man died and he went to a place of comfort. And as we look at that, we have to ask ourselves, why did one go one place and one go the other? And I think we have to let the rest of Scripture tell us that. And so I want to keep the truth before us that we find in John 3 and verse 17. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And since the rich man was not saved, he apparently had never put his trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, even though this was a parable that took place before the Lord died, he should have had his trust in the living and true God that the Jews knew as Jehovah. But he apparently had neglected his relationship with God. And so to put it simply, the rich man spent time on the things of this life, and the poor man didn't have much in this life, and he prepared for eternity. Now, as I said, it would be nice if this passage really wasn't in the Bible, but it is, and so we have to deal with it. And I have titled this program, A Wise Poor Man and a Foolish Rich Man. And I do believe that the rich man and Lazarus, who are in the story, were real people who really existed. I believe this story is a real story. It's a story about real people, and it's not an allegorical story. It's not a parable. However, those who take the position that this is a parable really have not dealt with the main issue, that God sends some people to a place of eternal conscious punishment. If the story is allegorical or a parable, as some say, it just doesn't help. The parable would be helping us understand in our feeble way something we cannot really understand. And so if the parable is dealing with a place of torment and is trying to describe it for us, the real thing would only be worse. It wouldn't mitigate the problem. It wouldn't eliminate the problem to say that it is a parable. Now, sometimes when I get to this passage, I just feel I should read it and let the passage speak for itself. However, I am going to make a few comments about it. And if there are those who are listening to me today and you really don't like the passage and you have problems with the passage, I hope that's not the case, but should that be the case, remember to take up your issue with God, not with me. He's the one who put the passage in the Bible. And so I have to admit that this passage is important to me because I was taught the truth of this passage when I was young, and because I believed in the fact that God has two destinies for people that are brought into this world, I didn't want to go to the place of torment. And that's what caused me to seek the Lord and to search for the truth and find out that God really is a loving God who loved me personally and gave his son for me personally. Now let's read the passage and see if we can see in it what God wants us to see in it. Remember, this is a passage where God is speaking. Actually, the Lord Jesus Christ is speaking. And so we want to understand what the Lord is really telling us. Now, he starts out in verse 19. There was a certain rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. He ate well every day. But there was a certain beggar named Lazarus. He's known by name. And the Lord knows his own by name, and he never forgets them. There was a certain beggar named Lazarus, full of sores, who was laid at his gate, desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. So it was that the beggar died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried, and being in torments in Hades, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. Then he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and you are tormented. And besides all this, between us and you there is a great gulf fixed, so that those who want to pass from here to you cannot, nor can those from there pass to us. Then he said, I beg you therefore, Father, that you would send him, that is, send Lazarus, to my father's house, for I have five brothers, that he may testify to them, lest they also come to this place of torment. Abraham said to him, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. In other words, they have the Old Testament scriptures. Let them hear them. And he said, no, Father Abraham, but if one goes to them from the dead, they will repent. But he said to them, if they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. And we trust the Lord will bless to us the reading of his word. Now, this is a very solemn passage. The rich man died, and he went to that place in Hades, a place of torment. He was tormented in the flame. He couldn't even get a drop of water to cool his tongue. And the problem with this place is that it's a place from which you cannot be released. Now, we could get into the prophetic plan of God and realize that there's going to be a resurrection, and this rich man probably, if I understand it right, will be raised to stand before God and to find out why he's being cast out of the presence of God. He thought, if I understand it right from Revelation, he would have thought that his works were sufficient to take him to heaven. And every man has sins that need to be forgiven, and he never had his forgiven. And so ultimately, his ultimate place of destiny will not be here, if I understand it right, but it'll be a place called the Lake of Fire. But the point is, you're either saved or you're lost now. And whether this is the final destination of a man like the rich man, or whether the Lake of Fire, as I understand it, is the final destination. The point is, we're either saved or lost. We're either going to heaven to be with Christ forever, or we're going to be cast out of his presence and we're going to suffer forever. And the suffering that we're going to suffer if we're cast out of his presence is a suffering that is needless, because Christ has already suffered for our sins, the just one. For us, the unjust, he might bring us to God. And so this is a very important matter. And yes, there are people who say, well, I don't want to preach the gospel as though it's simply a fire escape from hell. And I understand that. We like to preach about the love of God. We like to preach about the benefits of being a Christian, of being a follower of Christ, of being one whose life is molded by the Holy Spirit into something that glorifies God. We like to speak about the love, the joy, the peace, the long-suffering, the goodness, the gentleness, patience, and all of those things that go with the new life in Christ, with the new birth. We like to speak about people who have a conscience about sin and who treat their fellow man right, but we have to also speak about the people who reject Christ, and they may be very good people from the standpoint of this world. But at the same time, the Bible is clear that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and we all need to be saved. We all need to be justified, and Romans 3 says that justification is by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We are made right by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and the key issue of the Bible is trusting or believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. He came, he died at Calvary's cross, and he offers himself as the Savior of sinners, and he says, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." There will be no place of eternal conscious punishment for one who has placed their faith in the Lord Jesus and has had their sins forgiven, and yet people neglect their soul and spend their time on getting rich. And the Lord said in our previous passage, you cannot serve God and mammon, God and money. And it's one thing to be prudent in this life, and it's one thing to be industrious in this life, but it's another thing to make this life all that you live for, because we are spiritual beings, and when we die, that's not the end. It is appointed unto men once to die, Hebrews tells us, but after this, the judgment. And so we need to be ready for the after this. And we were seeing a picture of the after this for people who die, and we're finding out that the Lord brings before us constantly the fact that those who die in Christ, they're okay. Their sins are forgiven. They're prepared for eternity. And those who die outside of Christ, having rejected the truth of Scripture, that the Lord is the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by him, those who have rejected that truth, they die, and they're buried. And in hell, they lift up their eyes, being in torments. And so, dear friend, be prepared for eternity. Don't turn your back on the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't take these things lightly. It's eternity that's in view. And you need to be wise like the poor man who had nothing in this life, but who had prepared for eternity. Now, our Heavenly Father, we pray for thy blessing upon our program, and we pray for thy blessing upon all who have listened. May this program be the means of saving some soul from the judgment of the rich man who died and lifted up his eyes in hell, being in torment. We pray for thy blessing as we commit ourselves into your care in our Savior's name. Amen. Now, our mailing address is Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. My website address is bdcministries.faithweb.com. bdcministries.faithweb.com. And we do thank you for listening.